Hi, I'm Sandy Harper here with your monthly edition of Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, a potpourri of literary snacks for the mind and interviews. And today we're going to talk about a very unique project that's incubating and now is evolving to its next stage. And perhaps I should say, I think it's very unique. You know, and I don't know, is it unique throughout the country? Just a minute, I'm going to leave a little suspense to discuss what it is. First, I'd like to introduce our guest to you. First, we have Ellen Sandler, who is the official mentor of this project, correct?
Well, one of them, yes.
One of them. And also, who, by the way, has fabulous credentials. I'd like to tell you just a few of them.
Okay.
Ellen has received an Emmy nomination as the co-executive producer of the CBS hit Everybody Loves Raymond. She's written for many TV comedies, including ABC's long-running series Coach, and has created original pilots for ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, Disney Channel, as well as ABC, Australia, and CBC Canada. I think you've covered the waterfront. And she's also the author of TV Writer's Workbook. And our other guest is Lee Goodman, who is a member of this unique collaboration. And maybe we'll start with you, Lee. Can you tell us a little bit what it's all about and what you guys are trying to achieve and how it started?
Sure. The collaboration started, grew out of the idea of the Alaska Film Incentive Program, which is a fabulous incentive program that was funded, passed by the legislature to encourage a film industry, vibrant film industry in the state. And film in this context includes television. The program was extended in the recent legislative session, was refunded. It was beefed up some. And it creates financial incentive for networks, production companies, what have you, to film in Alaska and develop ideas that take place in Alaska. And it returns a fair percentage of production costs to the producer. So in effect, if a production company wants to come to Alaska and film a movie, depending on certain criteria they meet, they could for certain expenses recover 40% to 50% of their production costs. So basically, it costs half as much to shoot a movie here.
Wow, it truly is incentive.
It is a huge incentive. So, in the recent version of the recent amendments to the bill, writing, you know, script writing was added to the. To the expenses that the production companies could recover for.
Therefore, you guys
so
as writers.
Local writers are worth, are funded a 50% incentive to the production company. So if one of the writers in this program or any writer in the state writes for a film or a movie, a TV show that's filmed in Alaska, they come at basically a 50% discount.
Well, you know, what I think is particularly fascinating and exciting is that you've formed a group of writers, and you are having a brilliant strategy not only to further your ideas as writers, but to attract filming in Alaska. So was it at a bar? Well, we were sitting around.
Affinity Films spearheaded this. Affinity Films is a great local nonprofit production.
Yeah, Mary Katsky.
Mary Katsky, right. Yeah. She came up with the idea to go after a grant to train a stable of Alaskan writers, hoping that we will, A, have success in coming up with ideas for episodic television to be produced in Alaska, and B, that then we could spread what we gained through this experience to throughout the writing community in Alaska, and that Alaska will really come to be seen as not only a beautiful place to film, not only an economical place to film, considering the incentives, but also a repository of talent.
Right. And you as writers can stay where you live and create projects. Will they be about Alaska or not necessarily about Alaska?
The incentives are only available to projects that are produced here. So what we are doing in this pilot project is focusing on ideas that necessarily have to be Alaska-based.
That makes sense. But how did this particular group of people get together and come up with this idea? I know, understand, Mary, I guess, was the instigator.
Yeah, she was the creator of it. And she sought some grants to fund it, and then she hired the rest of us.
Oh.
There are many great writers in the state.
Yes,
I feel lucky to have landed this spot, and the other three of us, there's Mary, myself, and three others, are just well-known, very accomplished Alaskan writers.
Yeah, I know Shotzi is a member, Shotzi Schaefer,
and Andromeda Romano-Lax, and Doug O'Hara.
Fantastic. But it's sort of like the Musketeers, all for one kind of thing. That was what I heard, that you guys are going to share in the pitch of the idea and the collaboration of the idea.
It is a complete collaboration. We are not putting individual names on any projects.
Well, so you got to a certain point and you said, I've heard of Ellen Sandler. Maybe we should get a mentor and go to the next stage or the next studio, as it might be. Yeah. Is that what happened?
Yeah. I wasn't as involved in picking mentors, but the others, you know, looked over the field, saw who was available, who liked to do this sort of thing, you know. Ellen's got a great book that we're referring to, as I understand it. She's soon going to have another on pilot writing.
If only it was soon.
She will one day have another one.
I'm in the middle of writing it.
So they made contact with Ellen, and we were thrilled that she was available, and we are more thrilled every day.
Thank you.
So, Ellen, how did you get into the mentorship? Obviously, your credentials and your life is amazing in terms of successful television.
Well, I've been teaching for about 10 years, mm-hmm. and I teach primarily pilot writing. And my next book is on pilot writing. My first book, the TV Writer's Workbook, is about writing for television of an on-air show and writing spec scripts for on-air shows and generally the life of a writer on television. The next book is specifically about creating an original pilot for television, which is more and more a desirable arrow to have in the writer's backpack. You know, you need that in your portfolio in Hollywood. So.
So you will be helping them pitch to whoever the pilot is appropriate for?
I hope I'm helping them pitch mm-hmm. by creating a strong piece of material and helping them shape their pitch procedure. But I myself will not be part of the pitching team. Mm-hmm. I will not be out marketing it. That's the group. They will do that, but I'm certainly there as a support for that and to help them refine the pitch and get it to the point at which it's clear and strong and good.
Well, yeah, you have a track record, which is very exciting. Maybe we'll go back to how you got your first successful pilot on the air.
Okay.
How did that happen?
How did I get my first job in television? I got it through theater.
Really? Oh, yay!
Yes, I'm a very strong believer in theater. I think theater is great training for television writing. Theater
storytelling
writers,
and characters.
It is. I don't have accurate information on this. This is totally anecdotal in my estimation. Mm-hmm. But of the television writers that I know of, I would say about 50% of them started as playwrights.
Mm.
It's a very good background. A lot of them started as improv performers, mm-hmm. which is a kind of writing, and I have also been really legitimate playwrights. In fact, one of our members of this team, Shotzi, is a playwright.
Yes, she is.
Her background. It's a very strong background to lead into television writing, and it certainly was for me. That's how I got my first opportunity. I did a play, mm-hmm. which was seen by an executive producer who liked what he saw and, just like in the movies, came up to me in the lobby and said, here's my card, call me Monday, I want you to write for Taxi.
Really?
Yeah, nothing was ever that easy again.
How amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was very lucky, but also I had been working in the theater for no money, working as a waitress, supporting myself, working theater for 10 years before that. So I paid my dues. I learned my craft. I read thousands of plays. I was a reader for a theater, and I read everything written in English.
Well, you could learn a lot from that alone.
I learned how to write by reading really bad plays and analyzing them for my boss. And that's how I learned to write.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yes. So, Lee, I guess you are a writer also. A novelist?
Yes.
Really? Now, that's a whole nother medium, because you're going to go in those tangent and details. And I guess when you're writing for television, it has to be very focused and succinct, right?
Yeah, and it has to be done yesterday. We have very short deadlines in television. You don't have a lot of time to have writer's block. That doesn't exist. Just get it done.
Right.
If it's good, that's great. But if it's done, it's better.
Of course. And then, what stage are you all in? Do you have a plot? Or I know you can't share it because we don't want anyone to borrow it from you. But what stage are you at in developing a project?
Well, I can answer that two different ways. I mean, I think we each have a particular project that we're sort of responsible for. And I think in all of our minds, it's fairly well developed. What we're finding out here working with Ellen is that it may be fairly well developed, but it may not be developed well.
diplomatic.
As far as actual words on paper that we could show to anybody or a pitch that we could take to LA and deliver, we're really at the fairly well at the beginning. I think it will move quickly because, as I say, we all kind of know where we want to go, but Ellen is really running us through a very diligent series of steps in getting it to something that may hopefully be marketable.
In creating a pilot, development is 90% of the work, really. Even when you're hired by the network off of a pitch to develop a pilot, most of the time is spent in development. The script itself is a result of that development, and that is maybe about 10% of your time that you've spent. 10% is writing the actual script, but you can't do that without a lot of development time spent on creating characters and world, because you're not writing just one script like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're writing a template that will produce 100 stories, and so you need to develop characters and world and many story potentials.
So that's how you guide the creative process of this project.
Mm-hmm. There's some very specific things that you need to have in place before you start to write the pilot script. And that's what we've been working on this week.
Yeah, what are some examples of doing that?
Okay, well, the three major elements in any pilot is a central character and a group of supporting characters that are in an emotional relationship with that central character, and that creates the world of this series. And from that, you develop a number of stories, one of which is the pilot episode. And the pilot is the template.
Mm-hmm.
It sets the tone. It sets the relationships. It sets up all of the potential stories to follow. Hopefully there's 100, because that means it can go into syndication, and that's where the real money is.
Yes. Well, there was a quote here. What? That a film, you can buy a car. With a TV series, you can buy a house if you're successful.
You can. I did. And I bought it in L.A., where the market is very expensive.
I don't know. So do the writers have anything to do with the production once you are successful selling it?
In television, you certainly do.
Would they get to be the writers for the project, or maybe?
If you're the creator of the series, that's why the series is bought, is because you can deliver the goods. So they want the writers to continue on with the series. At least with a successful series on network television, for instance, the creator will be there maybe the first 2-3 seasons, and then often that creator will go off and create another show and leave, and somebody else will be in place as the executive director, showrunner, and be running the show, but based on the template that was set by the pilot, by the creator. So the writer in television is really considered a producer. In fact, the titles reflect that. You often see in the credits, you see how many producers. Why are there so many producers on this television show? Producer, producer, producer. How many producers?
Yeah, it's really crowded on that Emmy stage, doesn't it?
And in fact, that is the word for a senior writer. Mm-hmm. Has a producing title. You are the producer in television.
That's very interesting.
Different than film, completely different than film. Film, the writer is often in Hawaii and they're shooting in Florida, and they would rather never see the writer.
The low man on the totem pole in that.
But television, very different, because it's ongoing. And without the writer, you have no material. But
sometimes the writer and producer, or even the characters, I'm thinking of Steinberg and...
Seinfeld.
Uh-huh. So how much I know about television shows. Yeah, well, that certainly is an example of a television template that just went and went and went.
Yep. That's a successful series.
Very
That's
much
a groundbreaking, magnificent, successful series, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Do you think there was a lot of luck involved?
No. I think there was a lot of work involved and a lot of talent.
Well, of course, a lot of talent.
I don't think there was any luck involved, really. I think it was really a matter of work and talent and the creative team coming together, finding a voice, and getting it on the air, despite a lot of probably doubt on the part of executives because it was a little different, and I think they were scared of it. But I know, yes and no. There was some luck involved in it in that Rob Reiner, who is a consummate comedy director and writer himself and performer. And he championed that series. And so the networks had a lot of faith in his opinion. And without his backing, I don't think that show would have been able to have the opportunity to grow and be what it was.
Yes, opportunity.
So, yes, there was some luck in that. It had Rob Reiner to champion it.
So it is true in showbiz, a little bit of who you know is very helpful.
Oh, it's everything. Yes, it's very important.
Well, you guys know Ellen now, so that's good.
There you go. Yes.
Well, what I also think is exciting that this is going to, these are projects that are to be set in Alaska and fuel our economy and help our infrastructure for the film industry.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be great. I think we're ready. I really do. But we do need the content in order to make it work.
That is the whole goal of the film incentives and of this program is to create a film industry here.
I love it, and so do a lot of people. It's amazing how many people in Alaska love film. They love film. They want to make film. They want to be in film. And we have what we call the Last Frontier Theater Conference, and a lot of the upcoming playwrights, they're like, practically writing for film.
That's great.
Well, it's great for that. But for theater, it's not so great because sometimes they write in sound bites and they say, the volcano explodes. Which you could do.
They're writing for theater, but they're writing in film form.
I think that as part of being a young person today.
They think in terms of visual media.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, is that a part of your development of a project that there's a lot of visuals involved? Or in a sitcom, it is the clever banter and the characters, I guess.
Well, television is primarily story structure. It's story. Mm-hmm. Story is defined by character. So character and story are the basis of all television that works. So there is less visual aspect to television than film because budget-wise, you can't go out, and time-wise, you can't go out and shoot a million locations, and you can't do a lot of aerial photography and set up visual shots. You just don't have the time. It has to be more reproducible week to week to week. So you have to have some shortcuts. So you have the same sets a lot of places. And you do a lot of shooting inside because you don't want to be controlled by the weather. And because you've got to, you're on a deadline all the time with television.
That's probably what makes it exciting and fun as well.
This is something that has really struck me. Mm-hmm. Recently, is that as a novelist, you have oceans of space to develop your characters and let your story spin out and take all the time in the world. In feature writing, maybe not oceans, but a great lake of space.
Yes.
And what's struck me since we've started this is recognizing how economical you need to be in television.
You have a swimming pool, basically.
Yeah. A kitchen sink or something that you need to get right to work. You can't, sit around and let the characters kind of find themselves and so on.
We're actually poets in a way because you have to find the essence of
Oh, everything. That's really nice. We're poets. Okay.
Well, a lot of sitcoms do go for the cheap shot.
It's true. We're sonnets. Work it within a form, yes.
But then, of course, once you do write it, then the casting is so important.
Yeah, the casting has very little to do with what the writer does. What you do is make it possible to cast. And casting often has nothing to do with the writer. You're not really involved in casting so much. The executive producer, the creator, will be involved. But if it's a network show, the network will be very involved in casting, and it will have to do with stars and people on holding deals, and there's some politics involved and who they want to be working with and who they believe can carry a show, things like that. It has less to do with the writer's artistic vision.
Well, you do think if this is successful in grooming writers and the infrastructure of the Alaskan film industry, that there would be Alaskan producers too, so the complete artistic and financial control could actually be in Alaska? Or is that not likely? Your goal is to sell to somebody who's like HBO or somewhere that's very established.
We already have Evergreen Films.
That's here. True.
And then numerous producers without that big of a facility. But there is a lot of production talent in the state.
There really is. Yeah. There really is. And the more film that's shot here, the richer that will become.
I don't think it's an either or. I think it's both.
Yes.
I think there should be local production and sales to larger foreign product and so forth.
Well, because it'd be a distribution is part of the key.
Either or. It should be both.
I agree with you then. I know, for example, Data Stabenov is famous for her mystery stories, and I think Evergreen is who she's signed with. And she has held out to have her project shot in Alaska.
Great. Well, when you have an established product or established game, you have that leverage. You can do that. And that's a wonderful thing if she's doing that.
Well,
that's great.
It hasn't happened yet. But but that is her goal.
Good.
And she has championed that idea.
Great.
So I think it's really exciting that Alaskans are stepping up to the plate here because there are so many unique Alaskan stories.
Well, you do have a frontier mentality here, and that is frontier mentality, is go out there and do it.
That's right.
Ignore reality. Go out there and do it.
Nothing can stop you but yourself. That's right. But again, I really do have to get back to this idea of writers working together with this common objective. I think that's unique. I really do. Because when you think of a writer, you think of a very isolated situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's what excited me about coming up here was the concept of this group working as a team. Because that, to me, is a very valid. And I come from an improv background in the theater as well. And to me, that's the most exciting part of creativity is the give and take between people. And it's been a guiding spirit for my work all along. And television is very collaborative, sometimes to a fault. Some writers are very unhappy with that situation, in fact, because it's extremely collaborative. Sometimes collaboration is a nice word. It's a euphemism. But in the best of situations, you are working as a team. No show is done by one person.
Right.
There is someone at the head. There's a showrunner. There's a creator. But the staff works as a team. And it's all for the benefit of the show. You do not cling to ownership of a line, a scene. It all goes to the show, to the benefit of the show. You give up any personal ego for that.
Does it work is the bottom line.
Does it work? It works every week on television.
Yeah, it is the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're right, Sandy. It is very invigorating as a fiction writer. Mm-hmm. It's extremely solitary. And then I started writing feature film. And, you know, you're writing solitarily there, but if you're lucky enough to sell something, you're in effect in a collaboration with those who take it from there, the directors and the actors and the producers and so on. But this idea of actually from scratch with these fellow writers of creating the idea and developing it, it's very invigorating. It's a whole different thing. It's so much fun to come to work in the morning and you know, have other minds to bounce these ideas off.
Yes, the power of synergy. Yeah. How often do you guys meet? Or is it a regular thing that you're together?
We're treating it as a full-time job.
Really? Yeah. Mary must have gotten a fabulous grant.
Short-term full-time
I think
job.
It's 10 weeks,
yes,
right?
Yes, 10 weeks.
Oh, it is a time frame.
Right.
But there is intensity within that time frame.
Especially, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's more intensity because of the time limit, I think.
Are you in the middle of it, and Ellen's here in the middle of it, or is it the beginning of it?
We're probably in the first third, I think, yes, but we're mm-hmm. getting closer to the middle.
So you're saying this is unusual to come and help folks who are working together in this way?
Yes, I have done it a few times. I worked with a film company in Boston, mm-hmm. a small film company that wanted some collaboration on pilots, and I worked with their staff. I worked with the Australian Children's Television Network in Melbourne, creating a pilot for them with a group of writers. I supervised them as a staff and created a pilot with them. So I've done it a few times where I've had a specific group, and that's been really exciting to me. So when this opportunity came up, I was really excited to be able to do another version of that kind of collaboration. It's very, very unique. I do teach classes. But when I have a class of 20 or 30 people, I can't do the kind of hands-on, intimate back and forth that we're doing in this situation.
Oh, well, I am so glad that you're here in this situation. It's very exciting, and it's exciting for Alaska, and it's exciting for these writers who are involved. And I'll look forward to reading in the papers. Pilot sold.
I think we're all looking forward to that.
Yes,
I think it'll happen.
I hope it does.
You cannot believe the energy and the spirit behind this, and I think it's going to propel it into existence. I think it's going to happen.
Well, we hope you guys break many, many legs on this.
Thank you.
Special thanks to my guest today, Lee Goodman, a novelist who, by the way, has just sold two novels to Simon & Schuster. One will be out soon, and the other to be written. Ellen Sandler, writer and TV producer for TV shows such as Coach and Everybody Loves Raymond, who's been talking to us today about Alaska Writers Pilot Project, initiated by Mary Katsky of Affinity Films. Join us again next month for another Alaska Radio Reader Rambler.